Echo and Harper Audio present Drowning Practice, a novel by Mike McGinnis, performed by Stacey Glomboski. May. Mott. Not everyone believed the world would end that year. There remained a few optimists, agnostics, and well-meaning liars who claimed it might endure at least a few months longer, possibly even forever. Until this question was settled, however, there would be little point in spending good money to repair or replace what was broken or used up, and least of all what benefited children, who would probably never repay such investments. Public schools stopped buying supplies. In the unlikely event that the dream about November proved wrong, they would resume their purchases in December. Taxpayers would thank them for running a surplus. Mott attended a public middle school for reasons both financial and political, according to her mother. And though some dedicated educators now paid for necessities out of pocket, Mott's teacher was not one of these. Ms. Rooney attended class each day, dressed more or less for the part, but she rarely spoke, and often took naps on her desk. Her classroom was down to its last stubs of chalk. Among the dozen long fluorescent ceiling lights that lit the children, three always flickered, and one was entirely spent. These bulbs would never be replaced. Erica Bannock stood in front of the class, a piece of yellow notepaper stretched taut in her hands. It would tear if she pulled any harder. Her knees were covered in band-aids. They were shaking, and so was her voice. "What I think will happen in November. That's the name of my report. I think that everything will be okay. When you hear the end of the world, you think about everyone dying. You can't help it. That's how you grew up. But there's another way to think. November might only mean the end of the world as we know it. Would that be so bad? Most people suffer for most of their lives. Most people live in India or China. If everything was different, some things would be better. Maybe in the new world, no one will be hungry. Maybe we'll learn to be nice. In conclusion, I think that's what will happen. Thank you for your time." A student in the front row raised his hand. Erica pointed at him, which meant that he could ask, "What happened to your eye?" Erica tore her paper in half. She didn't mean to do it. She only pulled a little harder. "When you see a black eye," she said, "you think of someone being hit by her father. You can't help it. But my father is a doctor and a good man. He delivered me himself." She gave the halves of her report to Mott and went back to her seat. The children looked to Ms. Rooney. Her head lay on her desk, and she was covering her ears. "I'll go next," said Molly Coriel. She walked to the front of the class. "What I think will happen in November. Everyone will fall down at the same time. If you're in the grocery store, you'll fall down in the fruits and veggies. If you're at your job, your face will fall down on your keyboard and spell a weird word. If you're at home in your bed, you won't fall down, but you won't get up either. Everyone will make a little surprised sound, like they just checked their mailbox and inside there was a letter from their friend." No one had any questions for Molly. She gave her paper to Mott and sat down. Ms. Rooney sobbed once.
"I'll go," said Malik Boyd.
He drew a cloud on one end of the chalkboard, and on the other end, a flame.
"You already know what's going to happen in November. The dream was very clear. There's going to be a flood, like the one in the Bible. We'll drown to death, which is supposed to be a pretty decent way to die, at least compared to all the other ways. And then we'll have to choose the cloud or the flame. My granddad died from liver failure last year. His car is still parked in our driveway. I worry all the time that it's going to be stolen. The doors are unlocked, but nobody takes it."
Malik didn't wait.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?